How are you doing today? How about everybody? Anybody not doing so well today? You're in the right place. Yeah, for any reason, anything that's going on in your life. I remember I went to Newark. My sister Nancy used to go to the Salvation Army in Newark for her church, and we joined her there one time. And I always remember this one sister in Christ who stood up at the beginning, and she read a proverb. It was a word of wisdom, and she said, "You made a very. If you came here today, it was a very wise decision." You know, I always remember that. It was such a great way to think about it, you know. There's wisdom in coming to God because we can come, just like the song says, come as you are to worship, right? So we always want to remember that. You don't come here as a perfect person with everything all in order. We come before God as we are. And if everything's in order, that's cool. But if it's not, it's cool too, right? So we come as we are and we offer our hearts to God. I experienced that ever since I was a baby growing up in the church, and I always remembered it, the people most of all, that they loved me and they took me wherever I was at in my life. And in my naughtiness and as I went through life, the different things that challenge us, but I knew that God was real because of their love. So it's because of his love that we learn to love. So we have, like, Alex was so excellently introducing us this morning to the ascension of Jesus. It's interesting, but the ascension of Jesus seems to be one of those occurrences in the Bible that is neglected, or it's not preached on in the history of the church. It's kind of funny when you think about it, right? What happened on the ascension? Jesus was talking to his disciples, and then he's lifted up into the sky, away from them, into the clouds, and it's neglected. So it doesn't make sense, right? You're thinking, well, maybe it's because we focus on the cross, you know, we're thinking about that, and that's a very important thing, right? And then we think about the resurrection, and that's a very important thing, right? That Jesus came back from the dead, right? Amazing things. But the amazing thing continued in that Jesus was lifted up into heaven in front of the eyes of the disciples. And so it's good that we talk about it. And it's good that it's in the church schedule, like the calendar for the church, that someone wisely devised includes this day today to remember that Jesus ascended into heaven. So we want to look at some of the aspects of this. But first I want to just give you a little bit more background about that idea of, you know, what are the things in the Bible and how, what does the ascension fall under? Well, it would fall under the doctrine of the church. It would fall under the theology, right? The theology of the Bible. And you would say, like I did at one time, what is theology? And it's the study of God. Really, it's the study of God. And so what does that mean? And then we turn to our Bibles, and it's magnificent the way the Bible is put together by God to be able to teach us theology, these things that are of God, so that we know God more and we understand who he is, right? So if you pick up a systematic theology book, and I would recommend that you do at some point, you know, just take one and look at it and look at the contents, and you'll see, you know, it's systematic theology. So it follows a system throughout the Bible on what the study of God is about. What does it start with? Creation. Creation is theology, right? So it's so simple. It's nothing really scientific. It's very accessible, right? The creation of human beings, of the world, where we come from, is an essential theology. And so we need to talk about that in the church as well. We don't want to neglect that, even though it began long ago, right? But we look at what God has done for us in the creation, and it follows through all of these things. The fall of man, Adam and Eve, sinning. Sin is theology, right? We understand it's not that God has sinned, but we fell into sin away from God. And so it's a category of systematic theology, right? It's a theology, a study. What is going on in the Bible? So we turn to the Bible and we see what happened there. Right? And it goes on from there, all through the Bible. And then if we jump, then we go to the coming of Jesus, right, to answer that problem of sin that we were introduced to in the Old Testament, and that he was a promised Messiah who came to redeem mankind from sin. And so salvation is a huge theological theme. Salvation. We are saved. You know, if somebody came up to you and said, what is your belief about? You would say, well, it's about God who created me. When I fall into sin, he saves me through his son Jesus Christ, right? And he has given us new life so that we will not fear death but have eternal life. You know, there's things like that that you can grab onto to be able to talk about what you believe in. But salvation needs to be at the top of the list, really. You know, when you're talking to someone, you need to know that they need to know that you are a saved human being. You were lost and dead in your sin, but now you've given life, right? So we have these kind of themes, and it continues on all the way to the ascension of Jesus. He resurrected, and then the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven, right? Now, immediately the thought is, why would he have to leave? He was back, you know, he came back to life, and so why would he go there to heaven? And there's different reasons for that that we want to take a look at today. And then I want to also, you know, hopefully talk about some things that are also really wonderful aspects of the ascension in our personal lives and what the Bible teaches us so that we can have that hope in our lives and understand that there is great power in Jesus' ascension and what it points to. Okay? So we just heard that Jesus was with his disciples, right? And he was lifted up away from them. Okay, he was lifted up away from them. So he ascended into heaven. But really, it's an interesting study of this, because when we think about it, he also descended. Right? He descended when? Well, first of all, we know that God came down to speak with Moses. Right? Amen? He descended to earth to speak with Moses. So it wasn't a new idea. Okay, it wasn't a one-time kind of a deal where God descended. He descended, and he's with people all throughout the history of mankind. He walked in the garden with Adam and Eve, right? So he descended. He's high and lifted up in heaven. He's glory, right, itself. But he comes down, and he descends to mankind so that mankind knows him and knows the great love that he has for them. And the plans that he has for them, right? A way to bless him, right? So there's that aspect there. But let's go through it a little bit, right? There's a descending there, right? But then there's also a descending of Jesus in the New Testament when he comes and he's born in Mary's womb. He descends from heaven. He leaves his heavenly abode. He's sent on the mission to go and to save mankind. And so he descends from all of his glory in heaven, and he comes down, and he takes the form of a man growing in Mary's womb and grows to be a man who would go to the cross. Right? What happens in the course of his life? He descends by going under the water to be baptized, and then ascends out of the water to represent his life-giving power, right? There's all these powerful images that we have on Ascension Sunday, and we're reminded of, that it's a God who is humble and descends that way to show us that he's with us, and also in obedience to the Father's will, right? And so there is this great power at work in him there. And then he descends into the grave, truly does it. He does what the baptism signifies by dying on the cross and descending into hell. Do we say that every week in the Apostles' Creed? He descended into hell. Don't we say that? Right? And he ascended into heaven. Hell could not hold him. Right? He went there to show that he was the sin of the world fell on his shoulders, and he went that to that extent, and then he ascended from there in the resurrection, and then later, as we are reading today, he ascended into heaven away from the disciples. So he began in glory, and he's returning to glory on the Ascension Sunday that we're recognizing today, right? So you can see that this descending of God is a meaningful thing, and also it's an ascension which shows us. And all through the Bible, our lives, if you can just widen your shoulders, just sit up and widen your shoulders and even reach out your hands like this, if you can. Just reach it out and let go. Let go of all the things that you're being held down by. Just let go. You know? Just let it go and receive the word of God for your life that you are not meant to be down. You are meant to be lifted up. And one day we're going to be lifted up with him. Take that in today. One day you are going to be truly lifted up because he's returning again and he's going to bring all who believe in him away from this world and into paradise. And I say paradise because that's what Jesus said. One day he said to one of the thieves on the cross, this day you will be with me in paradise. That's what Christianity is about. That's what our lives are about. It's not to just kind of suffer and have a hard life and then it's over. It's about redemption. It's about ascension. It's about being lifted up by God. And Jesus shows us in his going up into heaven that way, the glory that we are intended for. And it begins now. I have become more aware of my breath lately. I believe it's because we've been studying the Holy Spirit more. I really do. I mean, we've been doing that in class, you know, we've been learning about the Holy Spirit, and I've heard these things and I've read these things before, but you know, God works in wonderful ways, and He intends for us all through our life to fill us with good things. And one of the things that I've been aware of more, and I was talking with Lee Chan about this, my wife, that, you know, I feel that something has lifted. There was a weight of some kind that was on my shoulders, and it was really bothering me, and I didn't know what it was. I was thinking, first of all, you're getting old. And it's true. You know, I am getting older, so part of that is true. But I think there was something spiritual going on, right? And so the spiritual thing going on in my life needs attendance by the Holy Spirit, right? And God's Spirit is like, I'm here for you. I'm here to help you to understand what your life is about in this spirit. And so I started to become more aware. And you know what I found? I was holding my breath a lot. I was not letting go. I was not having a breath like God intended it, right? Take a breath the way, you know, just like exhale and let everything out and then take a breath again. Suddenly you start to feel a little bit better, right? I mean, it doesn't take very much to be able to do that. But this is not just like a physical kind of a philosophy. This is the Holy Spirit that is teaching us that the breath that we are given is from God. And we are to use it in ways that are going to be edifying and are going to be ascending. Ascending praise up to heaven with our lives. And there's nothing that God can't help with if we're suffering in some way and not able to breathe and holding our breath and feeling like going around like this. Those of you who work in New York, you know, I've worked there for many years, it's the same thing. Everybody's just like all, you know. I missed my bus. Oh, I missed the train. Oh, I got to get there, you know, like trample through people and... You know, everybody for themselves, you know. It's just like, get out of my way. What do you mean you're here from out of town? You shouldn't be here from out of town. I don't have time to talk with you. What do you mean you need directions? So, you know, I mean, it's funny, right? But you have to laugh. But that's kind of the way we are. And in general, you know, so it does a lot of good to watch Mr. Rogers remind us that there's many ways to say I love you. Because it calms us, you know, and he's calming the children and reassuring them and helping them to know he's a Christian. And he knew what to write for children, right? So we do things, we want to be mindful of our breath and say, Holy Spirit, come into my breath today and help me to be able to breathe through you so that my life will be filled with that abundant life that Jesus spoke and taught about. So it's about ascending and descending, right? The message for us here is much more than just Jesus going into heaven, but it's the power of God at work and teaching us these things. So, what are the main themes of the Ascension Sunday? Let's just go over. There's three of the ones we can go over today together, okay? Four. I'll begin with the fourth one. It was prophesied. It was a fulfillment of prophecy. And in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, there is rich teaching on the ascension of Jesus Christ. Can you take that in? This is the guy who was thrown into the lion's den for his faith. You remember Daniel? And he was this man who went on a diet and didn't eat what everybody else did because he wanted to stay true to God. He was the man who was around when his friends were thrown into a fiery furnace and Jesus came into that fiery furnace with them and saved them from burning alive. This is the same man. So his reward was to be given great visions of the future. Not weird ones or any kind of, they were kind of weird the way that they were symbolized, but the message was the beauty of Christ, the Son of Man, coming into the world. So if you really want to learn a little bit about the ascension, you can go there to the book of Daniel chapter 7. So Daniel introduces us to one like a Son of Man who approaches the Ancient of Days on the clouds. That's God, right? So that's the clouds that Jesus was taken into today in the Bible reading, right? He was lifted up into heaven in the clouds, enveloped him. It's really God, the Father, enveloping him. Right? It's such a touching moment. It's a beautiful moment where he returns to the Father. Right? So in my night visions, he said, Daniel said, I saw one like a Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. Daniel 7:13. And the text continues, he was granted dominion, glory, and a kingdom so that all peoples, nations, and languages would serve him. And his dominion is everlasting and will never pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. And then the kingdom transferred also to his saints, the people that are living here on earth. And he gave it to them. Today in the reading of the Bible, lectionary readings that we do each day, there was one of Jesus praying to God the Father on behalf of the disciples before he went to the cross to die for them. And he was saying, Lord, I pray for your protection for them when I leave them. I want you to be with them, protect them, take care of them, and help them to do this, Lord, that they would be one as you and I are one. And so there's a big lesson of Jesus that comes in as a reminder of this. He was going to be going to the Father, and he was talking to him. He said, Father, soon I will be going to you. And what does he think about? That's going to be great. Great for me. I'm going to be back in heaven. I'll see all my friends there. You know, I'll see my Father there. I'll have all the glory that I deserve and all these things. No, what does he say? I'm going to be one with you, Lord, Father, again, and please watch over my disciples and protect them and help them to be one. You can imagine what it must have been like when once Jesus leaves the disciples, there would have been great temptation for them to turn on one another. What do you mean you don't believe this anymore? He told us he was going to die and go to heaven and he's going to leave us. And he said he was going to send the Holy Spirit, so we have to wait for him. You know, there could have been discussions like that. But because of Jesus' prayer, they were one. And they waited for Jesus, for the Holy Spirit to come at Pentecost. To come down and to be with them, to fill them with power as witnesses. So you see, Jesus is loving. He's always thinking about us. So if you ever think that you're forgotten in life, all you need to do is think about Jesus and your doubts will be gone. Because it states right in the Bible that he cares about you and he's praying for you, he's interceding for you, right? And those are some of the things that we learn, right, when we look at these themes of the meaning of the ascension. So Jesus is reigning now in heaven. It was so that he would go, and he's at the right hand of God the Father, reigning there, meaning, you know, like he's ruling. Okay? It marked the start of Jesus' reign in heaven. Sitting at the right hand of God signifies authority. And this reign will continue until his second coming, when he will return to the earth as the reigning Messiah. Romans 8:34 and Hebrews 7:25 highlight that Jesus intercedes for believers, serving as an active mediator with God. And this brings peace and hope to believers today, knowing they have an advocate in the heavenly realm. Take that in. You have an advocate in Jesus Christ interceding for you in heaven. The Son of God loves you and is interceding for you. We have an intercessory prayer where we come and we intercede for the needs of the church. Jesus is there every second of every day interceding for you. So therefore, it's good that you speak with him. Get to know him, pray to him, scream to him, cry out to him, cry. You know, physically crying, letting yourself go, sharing your deepest thoughts, your heart with him. Not just like when we sing praise and our hearts are filled with heart. Sometimes we sing and our hearts are filled with heartbreak. And we put that into our singing. And some of the most effective kind of praise is the kind that we let go and we sing with great heartache to God, because we know that we are doing the right thing, even though it hurts. But God understands our pain. I can't tell you how many times my mother, who really led me to believe in the Lord, took me and sat me beside her up into my high school age, and I was witness of her tears during worship. And they were sorrowful, and they were painful. And there were ones that I felt bad about, but that is what she did. She went to church and she poured out her tears of the things that were heartbreaking to her. God wants us to come as we are, and he wants us to be honest, and he tends to us. And when my mother was doing that, Jesus was interceding for her. And the Holy Spirit was attending to her. And he will do that for you. I know it because I've seen it. We want to be honest with God, and we want to accept his intercession and plead for his intercession, because it brings us great hope. Right? So then there's another side to the ascension that is so important, and we're going to be celebrating this next week. It's the coming of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So the Holy Spirit came down, descended. When Jesus ascended, not long after that, the Holy Spirit descended into the hearts of the people who were there at Pentecost in a powerful way, right? And again, we have to get away from the descend kind of a thing as being negative, right? I mean, think of it this way. You have to go up, you have to ascend in a plane, but you also have to descend to get back home, right? So it's not necessarily a bad thing. We can descend into a bad place, but in the Bible, if we look at Jesus, it's actually the intention is there for us to be able to see both as a means by which our faith is going to grow, right? Descending into the grave, but ascending in victory over death with Jesus Christ, right? The Holy Spirit descends out of heaven. Why? Something negative? No. Something positive. Coming to be the encourager, the comforter, the one who would be the seal upon our hearts for our inheritance in heaven, and so much more. And we're learning many things now and want to learn more about the Holy Spirit, right? It holds, the ascension is not an event from history. It holds ongoing significance. Jesus is advocating for us before God, and through the Holy Spirit, we are equipped to face challenges, share our faith, and grow spiritually. Right? And overcome problems. It serves as a promise that Jesus will return, offering hope and assurance of his ultimate victory. And so we see the ascension as being that handoff almost of Jesus going to heaven, as was planned in Daniel, right? Foretold by Daniel that Jesus was going to show that he was victorious over sin and death, And he provided the means by which people can be saved. And he took his place of honor again there at the right hand of God the Father. And then the Holy Spirit of God descended and empowered people so that they would be able to do great wonders. And they would be able to share the greatness of Jesus Christ so that other people would know that there is hope. And so we are those people. We are those people. We are the ones that the Holy Spirit comes and guides and helps us to be able to do the work of God. There are many, many ways that God works through his Holy Spirit in our lives. You may not even be aware of it. Right? God will bring something into our minds suddenly and remind us of something that happened, a person or a word or a thing that happened in some kind of a way, and you're like, that was the Holy Spirit, man. That was the Holy Spirit coming into my life. God is with me. It's exciting to be able to think about that. I'm not alone. I'm loved. Brother Yasser has been praying, leading us in listening prayer on Fridays. If you want to join at noon, you're free to join. We're thinking about maybe doing another session for people that can't make that one. But it's a chance for us to be able to listen to God and just be quiet and really try to hear the words of God. And he leads us through that with scripture and with prayers and also from his heart to help us to be able to be more acquainted with God and to have the Spirit fill our hearts so that we know that we have God with us, right? That we are in the Spirit, that we're filled with the Spirit. And that is what we want in life. We don't want to just kind of run on our own battery, and then when we're out of it, we just run to God and get filled up again. We want it to be a constant thing, right? We want to be able to be connected with God in that kind of a way, and God will do that in your life, right? I could stand here all day and talk to you about theology and all these different meanings and things like that, but the real gut matter is that God loves you, and he gave his life for you, and he's never going to give up on you, and he'll be with you your entire life, and he's pleading for you in heaven, and he's pleading for you here on earth. He's everywhere, and your life can be used for his glory. And you can experience great things in his power, right? We do experience those things, right? It's just coming to the point where we acknowledge it. I was talking this week in the lectionary readings also about something that struck me as I was listening to some music. And this pianist was playing so beautifully, it took my breath away. And he was playing this powerful music on one hand. It was like really gripping and kind of, you know, it sounded like something was going on there, very deep feelings and stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, it went into this beautiful passage where it was light and very soft. And the music and the melody that came out and the way he interpreted it was from his heart. You could tell that this human being was taking that which God gave him as a gift for music to be able to pour it into that music and to play it with such sweetness and grace that it took my breath away and I started thinking, that's exactly what God does. He's great in power. He's great in this forte kind of loudness. And then he's also, his greatness and his power is exhibited in softness. In quietude, in pianissimo, in a soft and a beautiful passage in our lives. Can you see your life as being a musical piece that God has created and that you're going to bring out these bold and wonderful colors of great power and of strength? And then also you're going to be doing something in your life to be able to go to somebody who's in pain and say, what are you crying about? What do you need? What can I help you? God can be there for you. Can I come into that situation with you and attend to it? It's all about teaching of Jesus so that we can be like him, so that we can be his creatures, so we can be his people, so we can know how to live this difficult life. So the ascension helps us be able to see these kind of things that God is doing for us, right? So what is it again? It's the Jesus is being lifted up and he ascends into heaven. Right? But his lifting up is also throughout the Bible to teach us how we are lifted up. We're lifted up out of our sins, away from our sins, away from death, into life. Right? Today's in Psalm 47 was one of the cases where we can see this in the Old Testament too. And there were many other ones. And this will be the last thing I say. It was in the bulletin today. First, it starts off by saying, clap your hands, all peoples, shout to the Lord with loud songs of joy. And then if we go down a little bit farther, it says, God has gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Victory, royalty, the annunciation of a trumpet, that the King is here. And that is the way that Jesus is going to return. The trumpet shall sound. Right? The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, incorruptible. Nothing can destroy life anymore when Jesus returns. And that's the last thing that the ascension does. It is the step before Jesus Christ returns in glory. He descends one final time, and he lifts us up, and he brings all who believe in him into glory, where we will spend eternity with our Lord and see him face to face. And that is what the ascension means. It's a glorious day. Let's not forget it. And let's claim the truths that are there for us in our lives so that we are not weighed down, but that we are high and lifted up because of the arms of God that are underneath ours and bringing us up into a position where we can breathe and we can sing and make beautiful music to his glory. Let us pray. God, we give glory to your name. We praise you for being our God and giving us hope. We thank you for the great reminders today in your word that help us to be able to see, Lord, that your love is unstoppable and there's nothing that we face in life that you cannot help us with. Nothing is impossible for you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We pray for the Holy Spirit to continue to work among us and to revive us. We pray, Lord, also in anticipation of your coming again, that we will live lives that are going to be lived for your glory, that we are going to be one as you and the Father are one, that we would love one another and that we would care for one another, and that even if it really hurts because we're missing out on something that we want to be doing, that we will make time for people who need to hear the voice of God coming through us, coming through your words, coming through prayers, coming through our own self-sacrifice, Lord. We pray that you'll continue to teach us as a church to do these things, all to your glory and in great gratitude. And so we just want to lift up this hymn now that we sing to you for your glory, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.